This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Gabagool, a podcast about The Sopranos. My name's Ben Vanel. I'm joined by my co-host, Adam Knox.
Here I am, walking in a frame with my boobs in frame. With my boobs, you know. I'm framing it to show you that I have boobs, to establish that we're in a some sort of boob-based environment. It's
pretty
clever.
I'm getting a massage. You got your tits out. Opening scene of The Sopranos, episode 11, season 1, Nobody Knows Anything, opens in a similar scenario.
Wow, that's a coincidence. How about that? Yeah. It's so nice to have a good episode like this immediately following a bad. We talked about how last week the episode was kind of bad, and this one, a real honker, in my opinion.
A real honker, and we're not just talking about the tits.
Maybe we do talk about tits.
That's not becoming a running theme of the podcast.
It's going to be hard to avoid. There's been more boobs than Gabagool at this point. We were going to do a Gabagool count, but I've only gotten to do like one or two.
Yep. No, that's the show, unfortunately true.
It does make a very 90s HBO, hey, look at what we're allowed to do effort of like, look at this, we can show fucking nipples on the screen. You kidding me over here? This ain't fucking TV, it's HBO.
But
hog boobies, okay? That's what it stands
for. That's pretty good. Yeah, no, that's good. Tits aside, this is a bumper episode.
Hey, tits are straight on, as far as I'm concerned. They ain't going to the side, this is HBO. They're pointing right forward like headlights.
Okay, how can I describe this? This is an F cup of an episode.
I got no problem with that.
Yeah. I'm scrolling down the TV Tropes recap that I use as a sort of reference point. Uh-huh. It's like the longest one so far. Fucking heaps of shit happens in this episode. Heaps of cool shit, interesting shit. A lot of relationship stuff, but it's also plot. It's just packed full of the good stuff.
For some reason, it really feels like we've gotten back to the main plot of the show in this one. It feels like for two or even three episodes now, we've been a little bit looking at side stuff and looking at these interpersonal things and, you know, people have establishing the world a bit more or whatever. But this is really, stuff is moving and it starts moving straight away with, Paulie is at like this brothel. He's talking to Debbie, who owns the brothel, and
she's the madam. She's giving him a massage, right? The blonde man.
Yeah. She's giving him a massage. He's talking about hand jobs or whatever. And then someone comes running down the stairs and she's like, hey, I think this guy upstairs having a heart attack. I think he's dying. And it's Big Pussy in a lot of pain. And it turns out he's hurt his back.
Yeah. They bring in a doctor.
Dr. Mop and Glow.
Who has a real name, but that's how he's introduced by the madam, I think.
Yeah. He's a dermatologist. But yeah, it turns out. And he's wearing a maid's outfit.
Yeah, which good for him. But yes, you're right. Pussy, he's done his back. I don't know if it's the first time, but he's got a very sore back.
Yeah, you know how much this can hurt.
Yeah, I know. I was like, everything about the opening to this episode I can relate to. Every single aspect.
Well,
but
you've been hospitalized for bad back before.
Yeah. Got the ambulance called and all that shit.
Yeah.
Mine was structural, though, not psychosomatic.
Well, at this point, we don't know that it, but that's true. Yours was real, or so you tell us. I've never seen the
I'm not X-rays. Wearing a. Have you ever seen me recorded on a microphone? I'm not wearing a wire,
you
okay? I've told
it.
You that. Yeah.
Also, fucking, what's his name? The detective guy of Tony's is here. He's got like this real stained up white t-shirt. He's real stained up. And he comes out, sort of has a look at what's going on. And it does give the impression that he is, I thought he was just living here.
Right.
But he's at the very least, he's a regular at this place. We find out later on that him and I forget her name, but the madam who is here, they have a close relationship and he's been going there for a while and da da da. So he's there as well. Yep. And then we get a weird title card that hasn't happened on this show yet.
Yeah.
And it says 4 days later.
It's a weird, like having a title card to signify the near future seems like a complete wait. Like if it was 4 days earlier, fuck, I'm in. I'm interested. I want to see that, you know, that flashback. I love that structure. But this is just like a few days later.
I know.
It's very weird.
Because we've never seen these guys at a brothel together before. It's not something I knew they were doing. I thought, like, I read it a couple of times being like, wait, did it say earlier?
You're right, right.
Because it's not much time.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And I don't think there's any reason that you need to know that it's been 4 days, but whatever. Pussy's back is still sort of hurting, but he's had it treated a bit. He's playing cards with, is it Richie?
No, Richie was the musician from last episode. This is Jimmy.
Jimmy is like one, the other capo.
Yes.
Who,
Capo.
A capo you put on a guitar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
And a capo puts a guitar on you if you don't wise up.
Damn. And a capo is what you have after you've played the guitar. You have a little capo.
Yeah, a little cappuccino.
But there's a raid on this little poker game they've got going on. And they find a pool table full of illegal guns. The FBI.
Yeah. Yes. And Pussy makes a run for it.
For whatever reason, he seems freaked out by this particular one. And yeah, he tries to run away with his bare back and immediately gets caught because of course he fucking does. The FBI is there and he can't run.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, could they have said it's 4 days later to be like, yeah, Pussy really hurt his back, but he's recovered a little bit, enough to run? Because it's like they carried him down the stairs 4 days earlier.
But
is it literally that? Like just a logic thing of like...
Maybe. There's no reason they couldn't have had Jimmy just be like, hey, you've been back on your feet for a week.
Totally. You know? Absolutely. You're right. Yeah.
I just don't get that 4 days later at all. But yeah, off Big Pussy runs for some reason. I don't know why he thinks to run.
Yeah, at this point, I think he's just made to look him a bit sus, but if he was completely on the level with Tony and everyone, he may also want to run. Like, he says that he's got, you know, money troubles. He just doesn't want to get arrested. Like, you got to pay bail and shit.
Yeah,
so
that's true. And that's exactly what happens. He gets arrested, he pays bail, and he shows up later on to the bar being where Junior's there and Tony's there and a bunch of other people are there. Jimmy's still in jail. And Tony's freaking out. He's like, this is how it starts. This is how, you know, this is the big one is coming. And other people are like, oh, look, it's whatever. They're just shaking them down. It's nothing.
Mm.
And Big Pussy shows up and they make fun of him for running away. They're like, hey, why don't you run over and get yourself a beer there?
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. And Junior tells him.
Yeah,
like,
They make fun of his 10-yard dash, which I thought was a good line.
Junior tells him, don't fucking run away. That's embarrassing. Oh, and Pussy says, look, I had a bunch of cash on me I didn't want them to take, and they got it. And Junior's well, you shouldn't have had that much fucking money on you at one time. That's the stupid part.
That's right. He had like $4,000 in cash on him or something.
Yeah, that's right. So, that's all gone down. They're all pretty happy with it. Jimmy's still in jail, da-da-da. Tony has a meeting with his sleazy detective guy.
Yep, Vin.
He's like, I was fishing with my kid. That's not something you've ever done before, Tony, but all right.
He's probably lying. He was probably just at the Butter Bing or something.
Yeah. But so clearly this detective's called, Vin has called an emergency meeting here.
Yes.
And like, he's able to look past Tony being a bit fucking rude to him. He's like, why are you always so fucking rude to me, Tony?
Hmm.
And he tells him, look, someone's wearing a wire.
Yeah. There's like a big thing they call, I think Tony asks for like what, the 302 form? Like this is a known thing. This is an informant situation. I don't know. Does he lay it all out he that says, Pussy was like, it's, he was pinched in Vegas?
Right. He says it's Bumpin' Cero. He's wired for sound. Tony obviously gets pretty angry. He's like, who the fuck told you this? This is ridiculous. And he's like, look, it's yeah. a source that I trust. He was at, in my wedding, he says. And Tony's like, well, I need exactly that evidence, the 302, which is obviously like the form that the FBI makes whenever they do something like this.
Yep.
But he knows that Pussy was in Vegas, a heroin thing, this like specific stuff that he found out from the informant where he's like, how would I know all of this if it wasn't him, if I was making something like this up? He was moving heavy H to pay for his kid's college.
Right. He got arrested and he's pulled a deal. He's done a deal with the FBI, exactly. Turned informant. And, you know, like, I think he makes the point in this scene of, like, Pussy loves his family above everything else, and he's not going to, you know, let them be destitute because he's thrown in jail. He's going to make a deal. And Tony starts to, I think, believe it by the end of this conversation.
He's like, he's out in a few hours from a lowball bail. Like, how is he back? I'll tell you how. It's wire time.
It's wire.
You ever seen that show, The Wire? Has that started yet? No? Okay, well, I got an idea for a show.
Right, yeah.
We'll put it on HBO so we can fill it full of tits.
But yeah, this is the plot of the episode.
Yeah.
Kicking off big time. We get a bit more plot from Junior later on, which is, you know, has been the sort of overriding plot the whole season. But this is like the most exciting and immediate thing that's happened in the entire show, I'm gonna say.
Maybe, yeah. Definitely over the course of this episode, it's Tony is, you know, upset about this for sure, and it's tense. You don't know. Maybe Pussy's wearing a wire.
Yeah, and it's done really well. But yeah, let's continue to pace through it.
Yeah, well, there's some fucking function happening at the Sopranos house. I don't know what it's for. They,
Carmela said it, they have an open house every year. So I think it's like
just a party?
Just a party for anyone because they have a nice house. I don't know.
I guess so. Well, whatever it is, they're having some weird party and Livia's decided not to show up and Tony's like, fuck her. Mm-hmm. She's doing it for attention. But Carmela's pretty upset about it.
Mm.
She wants them to move the piano during this party because Anthony Jr.'s not playing it.
Yeah. They've sold it, I guess, and she wants to get it in position. Someone's picking it up, I think, point.
During the party, is that part of the open house? You come and get people's pianos?
I guess.
I'm out of my depth with this party and every party. That's social anxiety for me. But yeah, so Tony calls Pussy over. He's like, can you come help with this? Because this is him starting to sort of take a closer look and assess his behavior, see if he can figure out what's going on here.
I'm not entirely sure what this specific ploy is because Pussy having a bad back or not, it doesn't play into him having a wire or being an informant. But yeah, you're right. I guess he's just sort of like pushing him a little bit to see what happens.
He's just trying to find excuses to talk to this guy and as much FaceTime as you can get with someone who you suspect is probably best. But yeah, he's like, no, I'm not going to fucking move it. I know it's on wheels, but I hurt my back.
And
Paulie and Christopher are there, and he asks them about how Pussy's been lately.
And Christopher's like, yeah, he's fucking out of it. Like, he's not doing his rounds. He's not picking up the money. You know, he's starting to look vulnerable. He's starting to make us look weak.
Yeah.
You know, there's something going on with him mentally.
He's hunking into those pills. I offered to go and do, Paulie says, Pussy's round for him. And he tells me, okay. He tells him it's the Percocets, and you know they're worried about Pussy, but and also completely separately. And then Paulie throws in the idea that he's like, I think the back is psychosomatic. Is that right? Or he just because he suggests he goes to this doctor. He's some doctor who works with Paulie went to him after he got hit on the head with a pool cue.
Yep.
And he says the doctor's like, no, there's nothing wrong with his back.
Right, exactly. Like, that's, that's a pretty big tell that something's going on.
So they have no reason to, you know, suspect Pussy of this wire stuff, but even they're like, he's acting weird. No.
Right. Yes.
Speaking of acting weird, Tony was doing it, so he's seeing a psychiatrist named Dr. Melfi, and that's who he is talking to now.
Yes.
And he's talking about his paranoia, a feeling of pending doom.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks Melfi about whether or not, you know, mental stuff can cause physical problems, which he knows it can.
Yeah, absolutely. This is, I mean, I love this episode and so do you, but this scene has the same, not issues, but when you think about it, it's the same as last week. It's just exposition.
It feels like a bit of a callback to the thing of him going like, well, my friend couldn't get an erection. I think he used to be saying that and now he's saying my friend's back hurts.
Yeah.
But Melfi seems to understand that he is actually talking about a friend this time. And he's like, I don't, Melfi goes, I don't want to tell you what I think about your friends because you always get fucking mad at me.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I'm sorry. I won't do it this time.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is there any mental stuff that would cause a backache? And she's like, yeah, stress or keeping a secret.
I think that's the aspect of it that I was like, yeah, they weren't very subtle about this one, were they?
You know what could really hurt your back? A big recording device strapped to your chest.
Yeah. Fucked the FBI, the Fucked Back Institute.
Yeah.
go and see them.
Tony is not getting his fears assuaged by anybody. And so he goes back to, you know, sleazy detective guy back at the brothel. And I guess I just had to find a place where the detective could live.
Yeah.
And he's like, you have to get me proper proof that this dude is the guy. You cannot give me, like, it's too vague right now. And he calls him, he's like, I'm going to take this from a degenerate fucking gambler with a badge, which he gets mad about.
He gets hurt. This scene is, like, the first real instance you get of this Vin guy being more than just a sleazy cop stereotype. Well, not stereotype, but an outline, you know.
Pretty
one line. Being a real person.
Yeah, exactly. One type of guy until now.
Yes.
And like the thing of the degenerate gambler does come into it at some point.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Yes.
And he's like, hey, when I was a kid, I used to go run and hide under my bed. You ever feel like doing that? So I guess they're kind of trying to bond. It works better than my summary of it. Like, just kind of watching it with subtitles on now, I'm like, this comes out of nowhere. But at the scene, it does work with them as much as they are just... Tony definitely doesn't like Vin at all. You can see Vin...
Yeah, doesn't care about him.
Not one bit. But you can see here something that gets told to us later that Vin respects Tony.
Yeah, true. Yes, Vin is, I think... I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be a big meanie. I think that the actor playing Vin, who has been pointed out, is the dad from Home Alone, is maybe not quite up to the material. I don't think the material is the issue here because I'm reading it here, not sort of looking at the pictures, and it's like, yeah, he opens up about he had a shitty childhood. He has a lot of demons. He's, you know, clearly unhappy. I don't think he's just pissed off when Tony like needles him. He's like,
yeah.
Visibly unhappy, and I think that it might have been portrayed better with a better actor, but...
I think this guy's doing fine. I don't think I have a problem with it. It's just that this character's a bit of a loser. And he's playing him as that, you know? So I think it's also that just, like, you're not going to take to this guy.
Yeah, that's probably fair, yeah.
And Tony's keeping him at an arm's length, but, you know, they're just sort of... They're opening him up a little bit and giving him a reason to... give a shit about him slightly more or to at least explain who he is before they throw him off a bridge.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, Carmella has gone to visit Livia with a plate of something from the party, which seemed to me like a pointed, hey, you missed the party.
Yes, I agree.
Which was good. Yes. Well done, Carmella.
Yeah, totally. Because, yes, you're right. I don't know that Tony has been so overt in telling Carmella or anyone, like... my mother is doing this for attention. Mm. She's manipulating people to get attention.
Right.
Don't play into it. Don't. She wants you to call her back. She wants you to care.
He
and
really.
That's pretty.
Yeah. He seems to have turned a corner with it. Hey.
Yes. Yes. I think so.
Which she's not quite at yet. She's still at the point of confronting Livia about it, which does seem pointless because she comes around and she's like, can you fucking cut it out, please? You're making Tony really unhappy.
Yeah.
Which I think is a misread from her because, like, yeah, Tony's unhappy, but because of the baggage from the past. Mm. But I think he has kind of moved on from her a little bit.
Yeah. I think he's come, he has had a realization.
Yeah.
And he's processed it. I think that's the word. He's processed this all and he's dealing with it now in the moment without the baggage, or at least with the knowledge that there is baggage. And so he's a little bit less encumbered.
I honestly think that if he hasn't done it yet, he is trying to abandon her. She's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
About that. She later on says that, oh, you've all abandoned me. And Carmela's like, oh, that's crazy. But Tony does want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to cut toxic people out of your life.
Yes.
And Tony's trying to.
Tony is a girl boss.
Yes.
Sorry, mob boss. I mispronounced that. Well, a kappa. But anyway, so...
But, yeah.
Carmela's doing... she's done this before as well, but she's calling Livia out on her shit, and she's like, you're manipulative as fuck. I'm a mother too, and I know I could do this to my kids. Like...
Yeah.
Fuck you. You're deliberately doing this. I get what's up here. And I'm not... You know, she's not going as far as saying fuck you for it. She's just like, look, stop it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Just fucking cut it out. You can eat some of this stupid pie with Junior if you want.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you mean?
Oh, yeah. That's right. That, is interesting. That she... I don't really get why this is a big sticking point for Livia.
Yeah. She kind of jumps to, what, you think I'm fucking Junior? And Kamala's like, right. Not really.
I was just saying, like, you know, you guys hang out. Yeah. You're both old. It's good that you have some companionship.
It's a lot. But I think she is trying to deflect that she has Junior's ear from Carmela, because Carmela sees through her. If Livia tells Junior to do something to Tony, she doesn't want Carmela to know it came from her.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
That's kind of how I took that. But she's trying to downplay how influential she is over Junior.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It's so over the top, though, and it is a misdirection as well, so it's, yeah.
Sure. Tony goes to visit Pussy at this point. He goes to his house. A lot of, like, I don't like the decoration of a lot of these houses.
No, I agree.
They're a little dim as well. It's very dim in Pussy's house.
I wonder if this is, like, an era thing.
Maybe.
Because it's all like dark beiges and browns and like...
kind of pastely pinks, but like just that kind of gross pink.
Dull and dim, yeah. I definitely agree. I'm not sure if it's like meant to be a commentary on the style of these people or if Jersey is like that. But maybe. Yeah, no, I've definitely noticed that too.
The hallway lights in my apartment building are out at the moment, so it's completely black in there. It's fucking terrifying. Fuck. I heard a dog bark in the hallway earlier, and I've never heard a dog on this floor before in my life.
Yeah, you stepped into The Last of Us or something.
It's really scary.
What's coming down there?
It's really scary. But anyway, that's what this reminds me of. It doesn't remind me of it. It was just an hour ago that happened. But yeah, Tony comes in. He's got some cannolis. He's got a joke or two for Pussy's son. His son calls him Uncle Tony. You know these guys are actually close. And they have a little sit down together and a bit of a chat. Pussy immediately starts talking about how, hey, I got to be able to provide for my family, basically, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Kind of reaffirming the reasoning that Vin gave Tony for why Pussy would turn on them. And just, you know, all the stuff he's saying, he's like, I'm cursed. I hate what's going on with my life. I'm trying to get out of it, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And Tony tells him, like, don't let anyone tell you don't have fucking options. You got friends here we can look after. Like, in not so many words, he's telling him, if they offer you a fucking deal, you don't need to take it because we'll look after you.
Yes. Yep. Like he said to Carmela the other week, like, You'll be taken care of. That's the benefit of this whole thing, is that we take care of each other financially, physically, you know, like that's what we're in here.
Cannolis, foodily.
Yeah, foodily.
And if you fucking cross us, we'll take care of you bulletly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We'll take care of ourselves if you become an outsider.
Yeah. But so all the stuff he's saying absolutely does not comfort Tony at all.
No, Pussy seems like in a bad way mentally. He's paranoid about his own situation. He's worried. And yeah, like you said, it just confirms the potential, you know, issues that could lead him to make a deal.
Totally. So Tony calls Paulie in to an empty bada bing. And he tells Paulie, like, look, here's the thing. I think Pussy's turned. I'm 90% sure.
Yeah.
So we need to do something about it. I'm going to do it. And Paulie's like, nah, fuck that. I'm doing it. You spent ages getting your stripes. This is one of the benefits. I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Paulie takes it on. And Paulie's one of Pussy's great mates as well. Like, it's, they look shattered. Like, Paulie really looks totally shocked, totally just like really upset.
They look upset, but they look resigned to knowing that what this means they have to do.
I think that's, yes, that's it, right? They're upset because it's like, it's set in stone.
Right.
There's no way around this. That doing this has forced their hand, and that's why that, you know, it's, that's why it's an unfortunate situation.
And Tony really presses upon on Paulie the importance of, like, I want you to see it happening. I want you to know for sure. I need you to see the wire or hear the cop or whatever, like, you need to know.
Yeah, 110% sure. You need to know for sure and then be a little bit more sure.
Yeah.
Let's get back to that gabagool.
Next day, I guess, or later that day or whatever, Tony's gone to the retirement home to drop off some CDs for Livia, who is doing like a hydrotherapy thing, something like that.
Yeah.
And this lady who, I guess, runs the retirement community...
We've met her. We met her when they took Olivia in the first time to look around.
Right,
she was trying to be real friendly to her,
Well, someone's played a joke with her chair and her desk or something like that.
Yeah,
but
yes.
She's so small.
I think, weirdly, I didn't notice until like halfway through the scene and I was like, did they just make it shorter?
It's so weird. She's so low down. Her hands are up to her shoulders. She looks like a Muppet behind the desk. It's really distracting. So I don't remember what this scene was about even.
It's a weird scene. It's a weird scene because Tony like comes to drop off the CDs. He's dropping them off. He wanted to drop them off with his mom, but he's dropping them off with her.
Yeah.
And then something happened. The vibe of the whole scene seems weird.
She tells Tony, like, oh, Junior's been coming around a lot, I guess. Which Tony kind of already knows, right?
Yeah, I definitely thought that, yes.
So I don't know what's going on with this, really. She needs a smaller desk or a bigger chair or a combination of both. Yeah.
Couple of cushions.
Just pull the little lever underneath up and let it rise a little. Because that's really bad for your posture. Like, you can get long-lasting back damage, not psychological, by having a desk at the wrong height.
Oh. Is this, like, around the time when, you know, the Lowrider songs started coming out? You know, like, Lowriders became big. Does she think she's being, like, a cholo? I don't know.
I don't know what her deal is, but whatever it is, it's a bad deal. You're meant to have a 90-degree angle between your elbows and the desk. You're meant to have your arms hanging loosely and then a 90-degree angle from elbow to desk.
Yeah.
That's ergonomic.
The deal she's in, she's bought low and stayed there. That's not how you do business.
When the angle is right, you can sit there all night. It's ergonomic.
Yes.
That's how you remember with that classic rhyme.
That was... one of the songs on the CDs that Tony's leaving, like Mario Lanza, like he's they've mentioned before, like she loves this old sort of Italian opera. He's bringing some stuff over, but weird.
Anyway, later on, Pussy's hobbling away from a meeting at the deli. His back's still bothering him. And Paulie pulls up and says, hey, we're going for a drive. Follow me.
Yeah.
And takes
Paulie him. Has, I believe the theme to The Godfather is his horn.
Yes, that's right. He honks his horn and goes, bap, 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 bap. It's such a long horn.
It's a long horn. It's so, like, attention grabbing. It's like, hey, I'm a mobster.
Yeah.
But so funny and so Paulie.
Do you know why they call Paulie General Custer?
Why?
Because he's got to battle that little big horn. Is that General Custer?
I think so, yeah.
It's the only one I know. Anyway, Paulie. And also, like, this is a good trick. He takes him to a spa and he's like,
oh, it's a great
take
trick.
Take your clothes
yeah.
off, we're at the spa. But also, it's such a good trick. You'd have thought that the mob would kind of be onto this trick.
Right. It's the first trick you think of, I would say.
Yeah.
That's like, yep, that's true.
And it makes sense because he's like, hey, you got a bad back, so this is meant to be treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I don't know if Pussy doesn't seem suspicious necessarily, but he is refusing to take his clothes off because he's like, hey, no, the doctor told me that heat is specifically bad for my back and it'll explode if I get heat on it or something.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that is true.
Yeah.
But also, it's fake. In terms of, I don't think it's true in the real world because I've often been recommended heat packs and stuff.
Yeah.
But also in the show, we know that the doctor who looked at his back said that there was nothing wrong.
Well,
he says he's
got a blood pressure thing that is the heat as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if he does have another medical condition or if he just doesn't want to do it, but it gets very tense and he's like, no, I'm not fucking doing it. And Paulie lets him go. But Paulie looks pretty disappointed with this and he's like, okay, that's probably the evidence that Paulie needed.
Yeah, yeah. I thought this was another funny Who's On First scene where Paulie just keeps saying, yeah, but take your clothes off.
Take your clothes
off. I mean, yeah, but take your clothes off. Take your clothes off.
Yeah. But it doesn't work. And it makes sense because he was just at a meeting. He would be wearing the wire. Da da da.
Yeah.
But so then Tony's meeting up with Syl. They're and Syl has some information that Vin
yes,
owes $30,000 to Big Pussy.
I fucking love this episode and the way that they piece this together to a genuinely ambiguous situation where you as a viewer cannot pick it. I don't know the name of the actor of Big Pussy, which is a shame because he fucking nails it in this episode.
Yeah.
So hard to read. Everything about this is really, really well done.
Because Syl is really like, hey, I'm pretty sure of this. Like, this Vin guy, he owes him $30,000. Tony's like, would he have the fucking balls to do this? He's like, do you know what we would do for $30,000? Are you kidding me?
Right.
So right. Tony does look a bit relieved but not convinced by this. He says he's still got to think about it. He's not sure here. But you've got Syl on the side of, I don't think it's him. And you got Paulie on the side of, I'm pretty sure it's him. At this point, you got to set up with these two little angels and devils on Tony's shoulders, and it's set up pretty well. The the idea that it might or might not be him.
Totally, the ambiguity is there. It's and Tony hates that. Like he said before, he wants to be 100% sure.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Thingo's having a shower. Vin's having a shower in the brothel. And here comes the FBI having a bit of a raid.
Mm.
And he gets taken. One of the capos gets taken. The madam gets taken. The doctor's back. He gets taken.
Yep.
And then there's one of the most editorialized news pieces I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, that's
on the
right.
TV about this. They talk about how these people got pinched in a brothel.
Yeah.
And then one of the... oh, sorry. They say a bordello. And the anchors are like, I hate to be that guy when he got home. And then the other one goes, I don't know which is worse, to be caught in a bordello or to be caught with the wise guy.
Yeah.
Like, read the fucking news, guys.
Crazy. That didn't play well at all.
No. So Anthony asks what a bordello is and they all have an argument about sex.
Yep. And Tony's like, shut up about the sex at the dinner table.
Yeah. And he very specifically lays out and like, I think this is a good enough reason to have him say this, statement of character that he's like, in this house, it's 1954 all of the time.
Yes.
So.
Tone.
Yeah, but we know he thinks this already. And we see Carmella kind of just agreeing with what he's saying with her face. You know, she doesn't say it, but we see that she's on the same page with him about that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, it's the 90s. It's the happening 90s outside. Little does Meadow know how fucking conservative she's going to grow up to be. But it's the hot 90s outside. And we're allowed to talk about sex out there. Yeah, I'm cool in a 90s way because I said whorehouse. Well, good for you, Meadow.
Yeah.
Glad it's the 90s. Fuck. Now you can be cool.
Enjoy Woodstock.
Yeah. So Vin is stuck in traffic. Going home, I guess, from the jail. We know that he's been suspended. He's got his badge and his gun, and he uses his badge to get through the traffic, which definitely seems to be just like a thing. You can see it in his face where he's like, oh, this is low. Pretending to be a cop to get through the traffic. Like, he is kind of pretending now.
Yep. And he's so pissed off at the traffic.
Yeah.
Which, I've never been that mad at traffic. Traffic's frustrating, but...
Traffic's traffic. I mean, I don't get the setup here and why there's traffic, because I guess half of the bridge is closed off or something, but people are able to move out of the way for this guy. And then he drives onto the bridge, and there's two perfectly good lanes that just aren't being used for some reason.
Yeah,
maybe there's
been
a crash. I don't know what it is. But the traffic situation is weird. And it's about to get weirder because he parks his car, gets out, and jumps off of the bridge to his death.
Yes. That's why we needed to know that he had a troubled childhood.
Yeah.
That's why he had to open up to Tony before. Because he's really depressed and, obviously getting arrested for being in a brothel has pushed him over the edge.
Well, and you need to know that he's killing himself for a bunch of reasons other than, like, it's not this event. It needs to be clear that it's not because he owed so much money to Pussy, and it's not because he, you know, one specific thing related to who might or might not be wearing a wire. I forget her name, but the brothel lady, she says to Tony, like, it might have been the last straw, but it's a ton of shit. I've known him for years.
Yeah.
Debbie
is her
name. Debbie, that's right.
You're right. It's also not just Tony being a dickhead to him, because he consistently is. You know, it's not just like
he's not dead because Tony was mean.
Yeah, he's not dead because there's a traffic jam. The recap here says, after being stuck in a traffic jam and becoming frustrated with how his life is collapsing around him.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good way to sum it up.
Yeah. So Tony finds out, Vin McKasian, that's his name.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, my dude.
See ya. See ya, McKays.
And so, Syl and Tony are like, fuck, well, now we're not going to know for sure about Pussy.
Yeah.
He was our link. Yep. So Tony goes and sees Debbie and is like, was he saying anything about anyone before he died? Is there any information you can give me? And he doesn't really get much out of her. She says that he liked Tony.
Yeah, does she say that? Does she admit, like, he mentioned that he owed money to one of them?
I think she says it, but that I think he is like, did he ever bring up anything like that? And she's like, oh, yeah, kind of, but he didn't really seem to care that much about it. Like, he didn't like Paulie. He thought he was a psycho.
Yeah, which is definitely true. He's a funny psycho, but
he's
absolutely
a fucking lunatic, clearly.
Yeah. But yes, you're right. The point of this scene is to underline that Vin trusted Tony. Mm-hmm. He liked Tony. You know, he didn't like being shit on by him because he saw him as someone who had, you know, principles or whatever. He at least knew that, you know, Tony trusted him and he trusted Tony.
Yeah. He trusted Tony, and he didn't really have that much of a problem with anyone else in the organization. So Tony's, or like Syl's theory of, you know, maybe he's trying to get Pussy, it kind of falls apart with what Tony's hearing here.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yes, that if you lay that out as, you know, like in a game of Ace Attorney, you know, or just like in a court case, if you lay that out as a potential motive, yeah, okay, you can see that, but we've got, you know, the backstory to the emotional reasons that it is maybe not valid.
And, like, Tony calls him a degenerate gambler fuck or whatever. So gambling is his... He's probably been in bigger to worse people before.
Yes.
It seems like that has really been a big factor of what his life was. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
It really... It isn't... it isn't reassuring, all the stuff that Tony hears.
Yeah.
Like, he's going there expecting to hear this big vendetta. Speaking of vendettas, Junior's come to visit Livia.
Oh, yeah.
At the retirement home here. And she's complaining about how Tony sold the house, because that's why he was going around before with the CDs, was to tell Livia.
That's right.
They'd sold the house.
The reason that that did not stick in my mind is I believe both lines that address that were ADR said off screen or like mum, like I think that was added in.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, but that is seemingly the catalyst for why Livia does this next thing. So he's like,
yeah.
Hey, look, just tell her we sold the house. It's all good. The house is in escrow or whatever the fuck they say. I don't know what escrow is, but I always hear it.
It's like...
escrow. There ain't no crow like an S Club crow.
Here we go. I was about to guess. I don't know if
that sounded like a crow. I'm sorry for that noise.
I think we call it some other thing here, which I've
is
also
it like
forgotten.
Stamp duty and all that sort of shit? I've never bothered to learn anything about home ownership because it won't be relevant to me ever.
It's like, it's when, I'll just read it. Escrow generally refers to money held by a third party on behalf of transacting parties.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I got the money, I'll give you the money when you promise that you'll move out of the house. No, I'll give you the money when you promise they're going to give me the money. Yeah, okay.
Oh, settlement, I think it's sometimes referred to in Australia.
Could be.
I think that vague thing. But whatever, the house has been sold.
I call it rent.
The house that she built. Well, yeah, exactly, me too.
She's unhappy about that. It's another fucking blow from Tony that he doesn't respect her, right?
Yeah, that her, and I think also that she is getting very old. She doesn't like that.
Yeah.
She doesn't like that she's losing these sort of markers of her being a vital and alive person. She's getting abandoned, and yeah, this is a huge symbol of that.
And Tony's in control here, and she's not anymore. So
yep.
She starts letting slip to Junior, who's a fucking idiot and doesn't see what's going on here at all. She's like, God, Johnny Sachs was around here the other day and he didn't do this to his mother. And Junior's like, what? Johnny Sachs is here. His mother's here. What? He's like, yeah, he's always wearing those mohair suits. He's like, suits?
Yeah.
Pleurisy?
Yeah. Fuck. God, Junior.
It's the stupidest conversation, and she's just wrapping him around her little finger, being like, oh, maybe.
Larry boy was here, and his mother was here too.
Maybe they're all here talking about you. I don't know. I don't know what they talk about. I just know that nobody cares about me. So she tells Junior to kill Tony.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because he's like, well, I got to do something about this if they're talking behind my back or my capos. And she's like, hey, don't you do anything now or I won't tell you any more stuff. And he's like, Livia, don't try to manipulate me here. I got to do what I got to do. Fucking jackass.
Yep. God, he's so dumb.
Yeah. So he's off. Livia has.
But I guess that's the second last step, we assume, in the plot that has been running for most of this season.
Right, yes.
The conflict between Tony and Junior has, basically driven a lot of what's happened. We've got this new thing with the wire and the mole and all that stuff. But, this has been pushed to, we assume, the resolution of this conflict.
Right.
It's got to be coming soon.
Because Tony took steps to resolve stuff with Junior, but he never did with Livia.
Yeah.
And in the first episode, she's like, maybe we should kill Tony. And now she's really hammering it home. So, Junior's out of there. Livia has a few more crocodile tears and whatever. And he's in big fucking trouble.
Yeah. Shit's about to happen. Well, and shit happens in the next scene.
Yeah. So they're having dinner together, this family. The Sopranos, they call them.
The Sopranos, they're Italian.
They got a phone on the wall, and it has the longest cord I've ever seen a phone have. I don't know if you remember this from the episode, but...
Yeah. Only longer cord I've seen is in Seinfeld. They do the same thing. The fucking phone reaches from one side of the apartment to the other.
It's crazy.
I don't know why.
And it's 99. There's cordless phones now.
Yeah. And also, we lived through the 90s. I never had a phone with a cord that long.
Never.
I never saw one.
No.
Never fucking saw one.
I never even heard about it.
Yeah.
I never even imagined it.
I couldn't have imagined it.
It's too long.
It's way too long.
And you know what else is long? The opposite of the amount of time that Jimmy has taken here between getting out of jail and coming to Tony Soprano's house. And they're all happy to see him. They say Uncle Jimmy. You know, they're stoked that he's out. Hey, look at this fucking guy. Hey, blah, blah, blah. And Jimmy's immediately like, can we talk business somewhere in private? Tony takes him down to the basement. And boy, oh boy, does Jimmy suck at being a fucking inside man.
Yeah, it's pretty overt without being, without, like, I don't know if you agree. There's nothing that he says where you're like, ah, that connects to that, which reveals to me that he is the mole. It's just a vibe. It's just Tony being like, you're asking too many specific questions.
Yeah. He's too fake casual.
And Tony obviously has an instinct. You know, he's probably dealt with this before.
And do you know what? The thing that it is for me is Jimmy specifically saying, do you know anything about the dead Colombian in the apartment? Like, he's really specifically laying out exactly what he wants to talk about.
Yeah.
It's weird. He's not saying our thing or that guy or our Colombian friend or whatever.
Sure, yeah. It's like, hey, so, you know, you got that money from the Colombian job. You know where they killed the guy in the apartment? So what? Yeah, you're right. It's, yeah.
There's something off about it. And so Tony gets suspicious. He doesn't answer any of the questions too. He's very evasive, but not noticeably evasive. He doesn't want...
Yeah, I agree.
Jimmy to know that he knows. Because at this point, Jimmy doesn't know that anybody knows there's a mole or whatever.
Yeah, true. Yes.
So Tony's got the upper hand here. He kind of gets Jimmy out of there. Jimmy's like, I'm going to go around and, you know, do my rounds or whatever.
Yeah.
And this is where Tony springs into action. He's got Syl down at the deli and they're fucking flipping out.
Yeah.
It's a good scene. Tony is like end of his tether sort of shit. And he's like, it's fucking Jimmy. The wire is Jimmy. Where's Pussy? Get him here. Where the fuck is Paulie? Get him here. They can't get onto him. The longest phone cord in the world won't contact these people.
But then Paulie shows up after a little bit of, you know, freaking out.
Yeah.
And Tony's, obviously because of the situation that they've set up, he's like, did you do it? He's grabbing him. He's shaking him around. He's like, tell me, be honest. Don't you fucking lie to me. Like, did you do it?
Yeah.
You know what? And Paulie's like, no.
Yeah.
I didn't.
He's not done it yet, but he does tell Tony, like, hey, he refused to take his clothes off at the place.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But they all kind of come to the conclusion that, okay, no, it's Jimmy. We nearly got the wrong fucking guy.
But no one has seen Pussy since the sauna.
No. So, and I, like, going back over this, I mean, I was pretty convinced it was Jimmy too, but there's no reason to think it was one of them over the other at this point still.
No, I agree. Like, it could be both of them. It could just be Jimmy. It could just be Pussy. And Jimmy was being unsubtle with his language, just being a dum-dum. Like, it's still ambiguous. Yeah, you're
right.
And
Jimmy's always been a pretty plain talker. That's happened in episodes in the past that people are going, hey, Jimmy, shut the fuck up. Like, kind of, right?
That's true. Yeah, I would say that. The FBI raided his place, which doesn't necessarily point to him being, like, if they flipped him after that, then, okay, I guess I can see that. But also, has this not been going on for longer than that? It's all, I think, yes.
It's stressful, for sure. And so, they still don't quite know. We don't know where Pussy is. We don't know if it's Jimmy. That's all kind of, so that's obviously what the next couple episodes are going to be doing.
Yep.
And then we haven't seen, is it Michael?
Mikey. Yeah, I call him Mikey. Mikey Parmisi.
Junior's right-hand man.
right-hand man.
His fucking dirtbag friends brought him a microwave. And he's being a fucking cunt to his wife.
Oh, yeah.
But I really like this scene. Like, he's such a fucking prick, this guy.
Yeah. It's good. It's, again, it's a little elevated, you know, tonally, but it's good. It's a fun scene with this prick.
And exactly. If you're going to be elevated about anyone, Mikey's a character to do it with. because
yep.
Fuck, man. He's such a dick. And he's so stupid. And the other guy is like, hey, next month is going to be busy because I think we're going to do that thing that might have been happening.
Right.
Meaning we're going to kill Tony Soprano and Mikey is over the moon.
Yes.
He is so smiley and happy about this.
He's like fucking Grandpa Bucket in Willy Wonka jumping out of bed and kicking his heels.
Yeah. I'm going to shoot that prick. Da, 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 da.
But yeah, he's basically laying out to his wife like, hey, it's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. She's like, everything's coming up, Mikey.
I thought we were going to Vegas in a couple weeks. He's like, we're not going anywhere. Yeah. They have just the worst relationship. He's like, put some fucking coffee on. He's like, what does it look like I'm doing?
It's brewing. Were you this dumb when I married you? Jeez. Yeah. Oh, fucking awful.
Can't even remember what she says to trigger that, but I think it's nothing. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And so she's like, you can tell me what this is about, right? The big thing. And he's like, listen, don't fucking tell anyone, but I'm going to kill Tony Soprano. She's like, really? That sounds pretty good to me.
Do you think she's going to tell anyone?
No, I think she's just there so we can see Mikey's excited.
Okay.
I don't reckon she'll tell anybody. But, yeah, he loves Junior Soprano as well. He's like, you don't belittle a man like Junior. He's old school. You don't make jokes about cunt lapping.
Yeah, that's a good phrase.
So, you know, they have a conversation about this. He's like, you don't spill your guts to a shrink. She's like, oh, Tony Soprano sees a shrink. You know. They go back over all the reasons why Junior got to this point with Tony, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
And so let me see. Tony Soprano sees a shrink. I'm just seeing why, to add insult to injury, he was planning a move against Junior. Okay. And his wife said his own uncle. And he's like, well, you're this fucking stupid when I married you. Okay. It is his uncle.
Yeah. Yes. She's dead on.
That is weird.
Yeah.
You're just a fucking psychopath, Mikey.
Yeah.
Anyway, they tell each other, fuck you, and that's the end of the episode. And she says, it's brewing. But is she talking about the coffee or about a little bit of trouble?
Yeah, trouble's a brewing.
Yeah.
We get fucking great stuff.
Yeah, there's a final little shot there of Tony watching a barge. Looking that's upset, right. Looking conflicted.
Yes. Yes, and that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's fair enough. It's been a busy few days.
He's had hard time. A lot to think about. He's had a lot of stress. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if his back was hurting because of psychosomatic reasons after all this.
Yeah. Maybe he's wearing a wire. Yeah, he's looking over whatever that is, the jersey, sure.
I guess so.
I guess.
Yeah.
Big barge coming past. I guess he's thinking about maybe the guy who jumped off the bridge. And maybe where pussy's going to have to end up.
Maybe. I don't know what the significance of a boat or a barge or whatever is. And I ain't going to try to figure it out. That's not my job.
No, we're not therapists. We just watch TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We watch really good TV too. I just, the tension of the, is it pussy or not?
Yeah.
Is really well done in that episode and it was gripping. It made me want to just go straight into another one. And we're close to wrapping up this first season here. Two more episodes after that, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, this is, like I said before, probably the most exciting thing that's happened in the whole series, and there's been a bunch of cool stuff so far. I loved this episode, maybe in contrast to the previous one, but I think just as, you know, it stands alone as a really, really good episode of fucking TV, and can't wait to watch the next one.
Yeah, me too.
And if you want to watch us, you can't, but you can message us on Instagram at GabagoolPod and maybe I'll send you a video back of me reacting to it.
Don't do that.
No, I said watch. But you can hit us up over there, GabagoolBoys@gmail.com if you want to send us some theories if you haven't seen the rest of the show like we are pretending we haven't.
We'll probably do a big glub of emails or something maybe at the start of the last episode of this season Because we're going to go straight into the second season of the show after that. There won't be a gap or anything like that. But I think we got some plans for what we're going to do around when the second season pops up and stuff like that. So
yes,
we'll inform you.
Yeah, you're right. We'll probably have a bit of a bigger, longer episode with some other stuff to talk about. So yeah. But anyway, we're not there yet. We're going to be talking about episode 12 next week. And yes, like I said, so excited to see what happens.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you then.
See you then. Next week, that means.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.